Hi, welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network.
We want to be a source of hope,
joy,
and encouragement on your drive to work,
your time at home,
or anywhere in between.
Be sure to like and subscribe
for daily and weekly content.
For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network,
please visit our website, lg4square.com.
That's LG, the number four,
square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation,
you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Hello there. Or should I say, hello there.
Oh, no. You shouldn't.
So we are here in the studio today with a special episode. We are doing our favorite Christmas movie podcast today. So many of you might remember all of our bazillions of fans that listened to our summer movie podcast back in July or whenever it was.
Bazillion.
That's how many.
Definitely in the high 20s.
20 bazillion? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Well, we did a summer movie podcast, but today we're doing things a little bit different. We are doing top three Christmas movies. What are our top three Christmas movies? We counted them down and made a list.
Checked it twice.
Do it.
The only qualification was it just has to be a Christmas movie. That's it. Mm. It has to be a Christmas movie. So there's some new people to our studio today. So let me tell you who's in the office or in the studio with me today. We're going to go around the table because we got a studio full of people that are very excited to do this. So let's start with to my left. Who do we got?
Hi, this is Zach Hall.
Hello, it's your friendly neighborhood Molly.
I wish I had a cool intro like that.
You will one day.
I will. I like to think about it. Yeah. I am Sam.
So I Sam, am Sam.
Sam.
Sam, I am.
You might have just done it right there.
I am Sam.
So Sam is our new youth pastor family. This is the first time in the studio with us, but not the last.
We'll see.
We'll see how this list goes. Who else we got?
Standard Candace.
I am studio manager, good old Uncle Chong, self-entitled.
Entitled? Or self-titled? Yes. Yes.
Hello, listener. I love that. This is Jen Slippy, also known as Chong's wife.
Chong's wife.
First time in the studio. Mm-hmm. How you doing about that today, honey?
Oh, jeez. We're here. We're right here, guys.
Come on.
There's other people in the room.
Looking good over there.
Okay. So, our Christmas movie list. Mm-hmm. How was this list for you guys? I heard some feedback based on our last movie selections versus this Christmas movie selections. How was this list for everybody?
It was super easy.
I agree.
Easy.
Yep.
Done in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Easier than the summer movies?
By far.
Oh, yeah.
When I have an easy time picking movies, it's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like this was easy because it's such a narrow scope of Christmas movies to choose from, which also leads to a lot of overlap, as we will see.
Yes.
But it's going to be fun to talk about these movies together. So with that, we are going to kick it off with Molly.
Molly.
Molly, tell us what your number three Christmas movie is. Your Christmas movie that you don't feel like it's Christmas until you've watched this movie.
Does that count for Molly?
I might need to change my answer if that's the case. No, my number three movie is a beautiful little tale called Klaus.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it is about this young, entitled, rich kid who comes from a family of postmasters. Apparently, there's a lot of money in the postal service. I had no idea. But he is sent to postmaster school, and he's very bad at his job. So his dad threatens to cut him off from the inheritance until he's a good postmaster. And he gets sent off to this little town where there are two families who absolutely hate each other, mm-hmm. as apparently there always are in small towns. And there he meets a woodsman. He's a big guy with a white beard.
That's where I'll put the Christmas chimes in right there.
we don't do the sound effects ourselves?
Yes. Be ready with sound effects, Sam.
Yeah, you're the guy.
Gotcha. Sound effects, Sam. And
this woodsman makes toys in his home.
Hmm. Cue sound effects.
Oh, dear.
That's him testing out the ping pong table.
Long story short, I'm going to spoil the plot, I guess.
Go for
it. That's kind of the gig.
Spoilers.
It's a good movie.
That's the gig with where we talk about movies.
Yeah.
Klaus helps not Santa, good old woodsman man, deliver toys to all the kids in the two families that hate each other. And they end up not hitting each other because that's what materials do.
There we go.
Because Christmas.
Because Christmas. It is a lovely little
movie. It really is. There's a beautiful emotional end to this movie.
Right.
And you find out some of Santa's history and the change of heart of the young postmaster. It's really good. So it came out on Netflix. Netflix went all in on this movie. Mm. And they gave it a huge budget for an animated movie, but they reported 30 million views in the first month. So a huge amount of people watched this right away. It was hugely successful and first Netflix animated movie to be nominated for an Academy Award. It really is a beautiful animated movie. And it's hand-drawn, but they also use some 3D renderings to make it have some depth, but... Really cool movie. You can see it on Netflix. My daughters love it. I love it. And I may or may not cry every time I watch it.
Forgive me, I'm kind of a dreamer, but isn't that why we do it? Hmm? Why you became a teacher? So you could make a difference?
Nice.
But it's great. Anybody seen Klaus?
No.
Nope. No. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, this is part of our conversation. There are some really cheesy Christmas movies out there.
I love them
And yeah. We can love them. There's something, they mean something to us. So when we're talking about our list, like this was an Oscar-nominated movie. This might be the only Oscar-nominated movie on our list because a lot
mean,
of them
Cam?
Are not yeah, going to be great.
Are you throwing shade at my list?
You're welcome.
So thank you, Molly. You brought a level of class that will not be matched.
First time in my life.
But we talked about this when we were making our list. It's not about what's the best movie. It's about what means the most to our heart.
Oh.
That moves our heart. That gives us that twinkle in our eye. And warms our heart.
Quick question. Are you going to leave in the sound effects, but not the part where we told him to make them?
Yeah, we're not actually recording any mic other than sound effects.
Wow, this podcast was really good at the sound effects.
All right. So thank you, Molly. We're going to move to Jen. Jen, I got to talk to you about movies over some pizza. I knew this about you, but I didn't fully know the depth. You love movies.
I love movies.
How do Christmas movies rank on your love for movies? Are they they're just a thing you watch in Christmas? Or would you watch any of these movies on your list not during Christmas?
I would watch them all not during Christmas.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. We have a lot of overlap, as I mentioned. Molly and Jen, coincidentally, have absolutely no overlap with anybody else in this room.
There's no way we're horrified.
The other five people have overlap, but you two have no overlap with anybody else in this room. So your completely unique top three list. So Jen, tell us about your number three.
All right. I have my defense for this one because speaking of beautiful Christmas movies, nothing says beautiful Christmas movies like Will Ferrell.
Agree.
Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Disagree.
Mel Gibson.
No.
John Lithgow. And yes. John Cena.
Yeah.
Raging with holiday spirit. Mm. Daddy's Home Too.
I love
what?
You right now.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid.
Roger.
At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade.
It's my favorite song of all time.
And in our world of plenty, we can spread our smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
I have not seen this movie, Jen, so where does actual Christmas come into play?
So, Will Ferrell has married this woman who has kids with another man who is Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
And in the first Daddy's Home, you meet these characters, and they're trying to raise these kids together and co-dad and do all these things. So, Daddy's Home 2 comes in when they decide to all get together to celebrate Christmas.
Oh, sounds magical.
So Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg are dad, stepdad.
Co-dads, yep. Mm-hmm. Mark Wahlberg is dad. Will Ferrell is magically stepdad. And hilariously through this whole thing. And you heard me right, John Cena.
Yes.
Who shockingly makes a comic genius appearance in this movie. It's...
Okay.
And then right. their dads come in, and that's Mel Gibson and John Lithgow.
This oh scene gosh. Where you meet their dads coming down the escalators, and it starts with Mark Wahlberg's dad, who's played by Mel Gibson, coming down the escalator.
Oh, geez.
And just, you know, this tough music, like this scary, all the girls are looking at him, you know.
Looks as if he's been chiseled from Gibraltar itself.
And then you meet Will Ferrell's dad, John Lithgow.
Perfect.
You can just imagine coming yeah. down the escalator. You have to watch it. That part is, it's too funny it's for great. Words. It's hilarious.
Mm. Okay.
So what makes this Christmas magic warm your heart kind of movie?
You know, I think maybe I related to this so well because I've had a lifetime of blended family Christmases.
Sure.
My parents are divorced at an early age, and I've had multiple Christmases and families coming together, and our parents are divorced and remarried, and we've had many blended holidays together. So.
You have like 4 or 8 like every yes. year, right?
So we are every year. We have like 4 Thanksgivings, and on one side, you got to spend all this time with family, and it's really fun. But at the end of 4 Thanksgivings, you want to die from too much pie, too much turkey. And we're lucky to be alive to this day.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Christmassy.
Daddy's Home 2 came out in 2017. So another new one.
Needs like an echo. Daddy's Home 2. You
know? It sounds like a scary movie. Different movie. I don't know. All right. So, Sam.
Yes.
We're going to jump to you, Sam. Welcome again to the studio. Welcome
thank you,
to the
everyone.
Team.
Thanks for having me.
This is your baptism by fire.
It's your first day at work.
So, you're gonna walk us through
yes.
your number 3
yes.
Christmas movie. This is actually the movie that I had some questions about.
Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater, Sam.
Like all right, I love it, but I love it. So tell me, what's your number 3?
I want to say, first of all, in Sam's defense, like, he spent so much time in Florida.
Yeah, that, do you know what Christmas like, is? They have Christmas in Florida?
Christmas looks different.
I will also say, okay. in Sam's defense, every single podcast of any list type podcast we've done, everyone cheats.
Well, I made some great arguments for that.
Who made an argument?
Sure.
Jimmy Buffett is a Pacific Northwest.
Factually yes. incorrect. But Sam, what's your number 3 movie?
All right. So let me preface this, okay? So I tried to have conversation with Candace about this.
Right.
And I was like, what classifies as a Christmas movie? And like all these things. She's like, no.
No, not going to talk
she's
about
like,
it.
She's like... What's a Christmas movie to you? And I was like, whoa, what's a Christmas movie
that's deep.
To me? I literally sent you my list last night.
Yeah.
I saw it and thought, you guys are like, oh, it's easy. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is my favorite Christmas movies?
Let me ask you this. Are you a movie guy? Do you enjoy movies?
I thought I was until I realized I'd never seen Daddy's Home 2. Yeah, I thought I could
well,
be.
But wait until the staff I Christmas party.
It's on my list now. All right, so I looked deep into my heart, and I was like, when it's Christmas time, what inspires me?
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if you've ever heard about this movie before, but it's about this kid who has this thunder scar on his forehead.
Boo! Silence, Zachary.
It would be...
Go back to listening to Jimmy Buffett.
It's Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
I don't disagree with you. Why were you nervous
about
that?
You literally gave me
that
mug.
I know.
And I was like, oh my goodness.
I love watching Harry Potter yeah. movies.
I watch them in fall to Christmas because they go back to school.
Yeah.
So there is a Christmas. But my qualm was that it doesn't really center around Christmas, that it takes place all through a school year. But tell us about... why you love this movie and what's magically Christmas about it.
I'm kind of a big nerd, okay? And I love nerdy things all my life. And so growing up, reading Harry Potter, watching Harry Potter, this one scene is when Harry, right?
Is this the first?
This is the first one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
First.
Ah, I know this one.
Right, yeah. right.
Yeah.
So this kid's been abused by his step, by his, not his step, but his aunt and uncle.
Right.
One hairy guy busts down a door, puts a pig's tail on his cousin, mm-hmm. then takes him to a land full of magic.
Yeah.
So his whole first year of school is full of magic, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's Christmas. No one else is at school. There's a couple people who stayed. His best friend, Ron, is there. And Harry's never had a Christmas before. Harry's never been appreciated.
Yeah.
Here, I'm crying right now. Oh.
Right? And then all of a sudden he hears,
Harry, wake up! Come on, Harry, wake up!
And he runs out. He's still in his pajamas, right? He runs off and he looks over this like balcony down, sees Ron.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
Happy Christmas, Ron. What are you wearing?
He has this ugly sweater on that has an R on it.
Yeah.
And he looks at him, and Harry has this huge grin on his face. And Ron says, there's presents here for you. And Harry goes, really? He's never had presents before. And they go, Happy Christmas, Harry. Happy Christmas, Ron. And he runs down the stairs because this is his first Christmas. It's just this really cool Christmassy, like,
yeah.
moment.
It is a beautiful moment. And he gets his sweater with his own letter.
And he doesn't mind it.
And it's ugly, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's him and his friend at Christmas time.
Exactly.
Love it.
Yeah. That's a very Christmas moment for me.
Yeah.
So that's why it's my number three.
Love it. This was the first one based off the book. And I found this out, and this would have been awesome, I think. Robin Williams wanted to be in this movie really bad. Who would you peg Robin Williams as?
Ooh.
Ron.
He's so great. Just kid with this Robin Williams.
Yeah. Like from Jack when he's actually in a kid, but he looks like
I think he could actually pull off Snape.
Mm-hmm. So he wanted to be Hagrid.
He wanted. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could
which
see
would
that.
Have, he would have been a great Hagrid. Yeah. But Rowling was she strictly wanted to cast people from the British Isles, which it's a English movie. So it makes sense. But Harry Potter, all of them have little Christmas moments.
Right.
But there is certain ones that are more Christmassy. And then there's some that are more like wrapped around Halloween. But I love that Christmas moment. It is a great one.
It's not a Christmas movie. I'm not telling you it's a Christmas movie. I know that's why I cheated. But that moment is super Christmas.
It is.
Right. It's to great. The 100th level.
Yeah.
And so.
Love it. All good right. It is a good choice. I wanted to poke at a little bit. But
please.
Ultimately. I watched it the other day. It's just something I watch when the leaves change. All right. It brings us to Chong. Chong, we have a running joke about how similar you and Zach are because every list you've done, you've had a overlap.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Your number three is not on Zach's list.
Oh, so
it's just totally uniquely to you.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually was anticipating a Harry Potter conversation because there is some very Christmas moments in Harry Potter. But Chong, your number three, I was not anticipating at all. I was totally caught off guard by your number three. Tell us what your number three is.
Okay, so let's go there, guys. I don't think you can get any more Christmas than Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Christopher Walken, and Danny DeVito.
What?
Yeah, that's right. You heard me right.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Batman Returns.
What? Well, come what may. Merry Christmas, Mr. Wayne.
Merry Christmas, Albert.
So let me walk you through how I got there.
Batman Returns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Give me a second. Can you
brace
just
yourself.
Cool off over there? Just cool
have
off.
Have a Christmas cookie.
And I'll tell you why this is so Christmassy. So first of all,
Penguins.
Penguins goons have present bombs that they threaten to bomb Gotham with.
Okay.
But the greatest Christmas miracle of them all is that Michael Keaton as Batman saved Gotham City.
Yeah. That's a good gift.
You're there, right?
Yeah.
You get it.
So
Batman Returns is a Christmas movie.
It is wrapped around the holiday season, no doubt.
Yeah.
And there's presents and Christmas trees and ornaments that are used as weapons. It is a Christmas movie, not on my radar at all. But it is.
If you watch all the rest of the Batman movies, you learn real quick that this is the only Christmas Batman movie. And I need to clear some things up here. Growing up, now a lot of people don't know this about me. This is an actual fact. I am Batman.
Okay.
All right. I have the cape and I have the armor to prove it. And that's why this movie is just so special to me.
Well, you're tearing up.
Oh. It's just a real deal. Because Batman is me and I am Batman. I save Gotham.
Santa Claus, afraid not. I'm just a poor schmo. Got lucky. And sue me if I want to give some back.
Okay. Proud of you.
That's all right.
So I think we're done.
Let's wrap up. Oh, the movies on this list. Oh, my goodness. Listeners, stay with us because there's some real great Christmas moments coming.
We haven't got to my list yet.
So, a gift to keep
so here's a Christmas moment that I read about when I was looking up this movie to figure out what the heck is going on. So, as you mentioned, there is penguins. There was real penguins on the set, and they had these mechanical penguins. And after a day of shooting, they were trying to track down all the real penguins, and they found a real penguin cuddled up next to a mechanical penguin, just snuggling together in like a Christmas setting. This beautiful moment. This poor bamboozled penguin just cuddling up next to this fake one.
Did someone give him a real penguin?
They brought him back to the
he's still
other
there.
Ones.
He's still
legend there. Is he's sounds, still there today.
It sounds to me like he had his own little Christmas gift.
I'm stunned. Okay. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to jump on to Zach. Zach, your number three Christmas movie is also Sam's number two Christmas movie. So our first overlap of the day. So here's how we're going to do this. Why don't you tell us what the movie is, Zach? But then Sam, since it's higher on your list, you give us a rundown and you two just both get to talk about it together.
Great.
The movie is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Mm. The Jim Carrey one, which both of you sent me your text with your list, and you said Grinch, parentheses, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Like exactly the same.
Yeah. 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 Awesome. Need to make sure.
Because there's three of these.
Mm-hmm.
Two and then a TV special, but they're, yeah.
Oh, Mr. Rundle first?
Yeah, this is your number two, so it's higher on than Zach's.
That's so bad. All right. So obviously, we got Jim Carrey.
Yes.
In a green fur outfit with facial expressions like in all of his movies, you know,
shorts.
And it's just hilarious. Like the Who's have those weird noses on them that were so weird. Then we got the Grinch.
Your heart's an empty hole.
Jim Carrey in this elaborate lair, right? And he's eating glass. You remember he's like, he's like breaking the glass, and his fingers are all long. And he's like shouting at his echo, "You're an idiot."
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'm not talking to you anymore. In fact, I'm going to whisper.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
It's so. And then the baby Grinch. And we're seeing that, like, animatronic
so baby creepy.
Grinch. Terrifying.
Hot take on the baby Grinch. It is the cutest, ugly baby ever.
Well, Baby Yoda has something to say about that.
No.
But Zach.
All I want to say is you nailed it. Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey in classic Christmas.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
You can't
absolutely
go wrong.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
Except for my daughters. My daughters do not like this Jim Carrey Grinch because he is scary. He's a little bit scary. It's all the prosthetics and the hairiness, which prosthetics took 2 hours to apply and 1 hour to remove, and it's made of yak hair dyed green.
Ew.
Spent a total of 92 days in makeup to film this movie. And rumor has it that Carrey sought out counseling from a CIA agent who taught torture resistance techniques because he was so traumatized by this process of putting on all of the gear.
He carried that with him.
It's haunting.
Merry Christmas.
I was the Grinch.
The scene of him and Max just kicking it in their lair just cracks me up.
Yep.
Super
love
funny.
It.
Speaking of Max, so the Grinch has been up on that mountain for like 20 years, and he's not been to Whoville.
Mm-mm.
And why he hates Christmas kind of is like the waste. All of the stuff they get for Christmas that they get bored with a week later goes to the mountain that he lives on. So how did he get Max?
Oh, Molly.
Whoa. He was out in the woods, and he found this handsome puppy.
Yeah. So let's get a Max origin story movie.
Yes.
I am in. All right. So that brings us to Candace.
Let's go.
That was Zach's number three, but also Sam's number two.
Okay.
So Candace, we are at your number three.
That's right.
We are inching closer to movies that are like actually Christmassy.
Batman Returns. Are you serious? Come on.
Yeah.
Christmas.
But Candace, tell us about your number three.
All right. Number three, everyone. Harken back to a time, it's 1954, and it's White Christmas. Mm-hmm. Dreamy. It's dreamy. It's magical. It's Christmassy. It's got some great music. And on my list are movies that I have to watch every year for Christmas to happen. And my grandpa looks a lot like Bing Crosby. We've talked about this. Bing Crosby came up as my...
We're going to work Bing into every
that's now just he's now my on. Easter egg. Okay. And yeah, I just love the music. I sing along to everything. I will watch it in August. I will watch it in December. It doesn't matter.
It is super fun, timeless, classic musical. But it's the third movie to feature Bing Crosby singing White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write.
It's the movie we know White Christmas from. He sang the same song in Holiday Inn in 1942 and Blue Skies in 1946. Coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, this same set where this Vermont Inn is the very same set in which they filmed Holiday Inn. It's a Connecticut Inn in that one. So they went from a Vermont Inn to a Connecticut Inn, filmed this musical Christmas movie where he also sings White Christmas. It sounds like they kind of just made the same movie over and over again until it took off. That was White Christmas.
Back when the song was called Merry Christmas and not White Christmas.
Yeah, somewhere along the way it got changed. Well, actually, some of the reason that there actually is not a official soundtrack to this movie, because the music was owned by a company called Decca, but Rosemary Clooney had a contract with somebody else and they wouldn't let her make music on somebody else's label. So there isn't an official soundtrack to this movie, but there is music that you can find that was released because of this contract dispute. Also, there is a rumor that has not been confirmed, and I tried to get to the bottom of this. There is a rumor that Barbie doll is based on...
I've heard that.
Vera Ellen's body in this movie. Barbie says no, but other people say yes. Regardless, not a healthy body type. Just going to say it. Not anyone's goals.
Candace, did I tell you that my senior play in high school was White Christmas?
Excellent. And who did you play?
I played Phil.
Of course you did.
I did. That's mm-hmm. good. It was like my drama teacher was like, this guy and Sam can be Bob and Phil.
That's awesome. So I just had an idea. So next Christmas, Faith Center, it's on White Christmas.
I will be the train conductor. The train conductor in this movie also plays Drunk Santa in Miracle on 34th Street.
I think we should do Batman.
Let's do Batman.
You have that costume already, right?
Everybody here would agree with that.
Let's find some penguins.
All right, that brings me to my number three, which is also Zach's number one.
Wow. Oh.
So, Zach, kick us off. Tell everybody about my number three, your number one.
Oh, my God. We're just getting right to the good stuff. This is the best Christmas movie of all time.
I think I know where this is going. I'm already worried.
I don't think you do. This might be the movie is The Santa Claus.
Oh, my
gosh. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's a theme in my movies, a great actor, classic Christmas. Tim Allen as Santa Claus is so good. I love this movie. Santa delivers presents. He falls off the roof. Tim Allen comes running out in his boxers. See Santa disappear. Puts on the suit. Him and his son get on the sleigh. Finish delivering presents. And now he's Santa Claus. The movie starts out, and I love it. He tries to cook a turkey, burns it, but then you hear the ba-dum bum bum or whatever that song is.
Yep.
That's when Christmas starts, when you hear that song. Yep, exactly. So good.
This is a really fun Christmas movie, and part of the reason that it is so awesome is Tim Allen, like we talked about. Tim Allen, for 1 week in 1994, had the number one movie, which is this one, the number one TV show, which is Home Improvement, and the number one book, the New York Times bestseller, Don't Stand Too Close to a Naked Man, is the name of his book.
Okay. Just good advice.
Yeah, that's just, that's it. That's his book. But this is a super fun movie, and there's a lot of winks to his character in Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. At one point, he goes to the North Pole, and he's touring the workshop, and he picks up this little tool belt and tries it on. And then also when he's delivering gifts, he pulls up to a house and he's like, I hope who lives here is a tailor, because his suit's too big and his last name in his TV show is Taylor's. Wow. And then also he says, ho, 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 as his Home Improvement grunt voice. It was originally written for Bill Murray, though. And he, Bill Murray said, nah, it's not really my comedy style. When I was reading about who it was also pitched to, it is a long list, including like Tom Hanks, who else?
John Cena.
John Cena was supposed to be in it.
Secret Agent Elves.
Yeah.
They come and rescue Santa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. It kicked off two other sequels after this. This one is really told from the adult perspective. The other ones are very like kid oriented. So my daughters like 2 and 3 more because they just like, you start off with the North Pole. In this one, you start off with Santa dying.
Yeah.
But it is still a kid's movie.
Is this the one where he has a cocoa machine, like, in the slut?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and a CD, but it's cocoa, and the cookie pops out instead of a disc. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But that is my number three and Zach's number one, which brings us all the way back to Molly. Molly, will you tell us, we're on our number two Christmas movie. Tell us about your number two.
I'm going to tell you right now that my list only goes downhill from three.
Viewer discretion advised.
I'm going to set the scene for you.
Okay. Please, please.
It's roughly 3-4 days before Christmas. And a gadget salesman is looking for a present that's perfect for his son. And he finds it. But the shopkeeper is very hesitant to sell this man this gift and gives him a warning. Don't get it wet or feed it after midnight.
Oh, Molly.
My number two Christmas movie is Gremlins.
Magical. Listeners didn't know what they were getting in for when we said Christmas movies.
Why is this Christmassy to you, Molly?
Because it's literally Christmas. The part of this movie that sticks with me the most is not the most magical part. It is the part where the girl, as the gremlins have multiplied and are ravaging the town on Christmas Eve. This girl hates Christmas. And she's telling our main character why she hates Christmas. Because in an effort to make Christmas magical, her father dresses as Santa, goes on the roof, and falls in the chimney. He gets stuck and dies. They don't find him for a couple days, and now Christmas is ruined.
Molly's number two Christmas movie, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Well, it is iconic 80s movie,
yeah,
for sure. I've never fully seen any of the Gremlins movies. There is 1 and 2. The director says he likes the second one better. I don't know if that's anything to do with Christmas at all. Because I haven't seen enough of the first one, I would have never thought it is a Christmas movie. But it is.
I quit while I was ahead and only watched the first one.
Usually smart. All right. That moves us on to Jen. Tell me about your number two movie.
Okay. My number two movie. So I have a vivid memory of sitting in my fourth grade classroom here in town, Greenwood Elementary. Go
Shout
Giants.
Out.
I went there.
Watching this old black and white movie.
Okay, that clears it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm
when
with you.
When it started, I was like, oh boy, I'm not going to like this. But turns out this is one of the most magical, inspiring, wonderful Christmas movies ever created. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh. Yes.
You see, Mrs. Walker, this is quite an opportunity for me.
For the past 50 years or so, I've been getting more and more worried about Christmas. Seems we're all so busy trying to beat the other fellow in making things go faster and look shinier and cost less that Christmas and I are sort of getting lost in the shuffle.
Oh, I don't think so. Christmas is still Christmas.
Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind. And that's what's been changing.
The old one.
The old one. See, that's why I was, I didn't know where to go with it.
Yep. The new ones are not as good, mm-hmm. although Matilda is in
the 90s one. Yeah.
But old one, original 40s something.
Yeah, 47. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Story of a lady who's in charge of the Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade has to hire a last minute Santa Claus because the one she has hired is clearly intoxicated. So he takes over.
Played by the train conductor in White Christmas.
Excellent.
He takes over and lets everyone know that his name is Kris Kringle and he actually is Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. This movie revolves around the Macy's Day lady, I don't remember her name, and her daughter, who don't believe in Christmas. They don't believe in fairy tales. They don't believe in magic. They don't believe in anything. And they grow to know and love this man who teaches them to have faith and hope in people around you.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's good. Beautiful.
So I have to backtrack on my statement earlier about Klaus being the most prestigious movie because I didn't know which Miracle on 34th Street you were talking about. I'm very familiar with the one with Matilda, which I don't even know her name. I just know her as Matilda. Yeah,
it's Matilda.
Yeah.
But this won 3 Oscars. So the original is a really prestigious movie. It's a great movie.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is the moment in this that's like the most Christmas magic moment?
I don't remember like every detail of this movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I do remember, and this is the one that stood out to me even as a child. The daughter decides to send him a letter telling him that she believes in him and that everything will be okay. And the mom signs it too and says, "I believe in you too." Mm. This moment. Beautiful.
Wow. That's where it is.
So good.
You're crying.
There's a lot of tears being shed.
So that is.
Do we need to take time? Is everybody okay?
It's emotional. In the other one, the guy that plays Kris Kringle is also from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
So that was a moment for me that I was like, the guy that made dinosaurs is also Santa Claus?
Yes.
So that is the 1947 Miracle on 34th Street. Which brings us to Sam's number 2, which was...
The Grinch!
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. So that brings us to Chong's number 2. Mm.
Are you guys going to tell me that I was the only one that selected this as a Christmas movie? Oh my gosh. Okay.
I'm a little bit shocked as well.
Okay, so all you need for Christmas, besides Batman... All of those things, all the cliches. You need Chevy Chase in A Christmas Vacation.
Joy to the world.
Honorable mention for me.
Same here.
So now, this one for me is just one of those movies. Every year, I got to go back and watch and laugh my stupid head off. Curled up on my couch with my dog and my wife. Just
In that order.
In fact... we kind of had to jimmy rig this system together today in order to get all of our microphones and headphones working together in this room. And I think you can probably say that I didn't jimmy rig it. I Clark Griswold it.
That's what I was thinking while you were working.
Trademark.
We are going to explode at any moment.
Do you remember that scene in this movie when he's putting his Christmas lights together and he's got them all plugged into the same outlet? And of course he's struggling trying to get them all lit and his whole family's like, oh, I can see it in my head. I can see it in my mind. It was going to be great. Well, eventually Cousin Eddie comes out and he accidentally flips the thing on and then they had to turn the town over to nuclear power because it was sucking down too much energy. Yeah.
That's what's happening right over in this corner right here.
Yeah.
We're running off nuclear power.
Right here.
This is not the standard in DC. We're
nuclear.
That. We're into
sweet.
AC.
Yeah. Fun movie. 1989. It wasn't until like 2 years ago that I saw the actual version of this movie. I only saw the TV version.
Really?
There's a few parts that I was unaware of. And a few words that I didn't know were in there.
Did you learn new words?
I learned some new words.
Oh, man. I don't think it's any better than Cousin Eddie on there, though.
It's pretty great.
Oh, that's an RV. Yeah.
It's so nice parked in the driveway.
Yeah, it sure does. But don't you go falling in love with it now, because we're taking it with us when we leave here next month.
He tries to make Christmas awesome, and then everything, like, crumbles, and he ends up punching Santa and, like, getting in a fight with some of the stuff.
I mean, come on, guys. We've all been there.
Absolutely.
He broke his pinky punching the fake Santa, and then his response is to continue to beat up the Santa and stuff and kick it.
Okay, yeah.
It's a Chevy Chase classic Christmas movie. It was on TV all the time, and that's why I watched the TV version. All right, so moving on to Zach's number two, which is Chong's number one.
I knew it.
Which is Candace's number two. Woo! Which is my number two. So, Chong, you're going to have to take it from here, because this is your number one, and we're all chime in, because it's our number two.
You smell like beef and cheese.
Yes.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Elf. Come on, Elf. Ladies and gentlemen. Will Ferrell and Christmas. That's like wine and cheese.
So good.
It's like the ultimate combo. Mm. Come on. This should have been everybody's number one. You guys were all wrong.
So tell us about it. Is that it?
You tell me about it.
All right. Well, it is. It's awesome. It was actually originally pitched to Jim Carrey, and he turned it down, which I can see. Jim Carrey has this character
for
sure. He
just got done doing The Grinch, so he's a little...
He's in therapy, right?
I think it was actually like in the 90s that it was pitched to him, and it was circulating for a while before Will Ferrell signed up for it. His first leading role was Elf. He also turned it down a sequel. He was offered $29 million to do a sequel.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like, no, I think it's good as it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, it's... It's,
no, that would have been awesome.
Like, I want more, sure, but I like when you let something good just be.
Quit while you're ahead.
Sequels are so risky.
Your number three was a sequel, right?
With Will Ferrell.
Doesn't make it not
with Will Ferrell, yeah.
This risk was worth it.
So this is about an orphan kid. He crawls into Santa's bag, doesn't he? And then he ends up at the North Pole, and now he's an elf, but he's a full-grown adult. So he's sent back home.
But he doesn't know.
He does not know.
That's right.
And then he's sent home to find his dad, and his dad's on the naughty list.
Goodbye, buddy. Hope you find your
dad. Good luck finding your dad.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Thanks, Mr. Narwhal. Bye.
So
I love this movie.
And I love New York City Christmas, and that's where this takes place. There were several minor traffic accidents when Will Ferrell was walking through the street, walking through Lincoln Tunnel.
I traveled to the seven levels of the candy cane forest, past the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops, and then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Because they just said, ready, go, and he's in elf costume just walking through New York City. And my parents were actually in New York when this was happening. They see it. They see what's going on, and it's Buddy the Elf.
We can't forget to mention Zooey Deschanel.
Right? Blonde
she's
hair.
So good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Singing, so good. Which she later puts out a Christmas album, which is fun Christmas music. She and Him is what her album Her band
Santa's
is called.
Santa's coming. I know him.
I know him.
I know him. We quote this movie in our house all year round, actually.
My roommate, she went home for Thanksgiving, but she was decorating her space before she was leaving, and it looks like Christmas vomited all over the place. But she comes up and she's like, so I have this narwhal. And I'm like, why? She goes, Elf, can I put it by your door?
Yes. So I love the scene where he is eating all the candy and putting syrup on his...
Have you done that before?
Well, Amber, a former student and leader, she swears it's good and will actually do it. I can't imagine
Spaghetti with syrup on it.
Mm-hmm. But they filmed that scene twice because in the middle of the first take, Will Ferrell vomited. And then they said, well, take two. And he had to do it again. And he spent a lot of the movie with a headache because he does eat a lot of sugar.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes.
Love it.
When he has that Coke leader.
When he puts the star on the tree and he runs out of the room and all of a sudden comes back in and launches up there.
So good.
But when he fights Santa, because it's not the real Santa.
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies. You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay, good.
That's he was good. So excited that Santa was coming, but it wasn't the real
We've
Santa.
We've all fought Santa, like we're saying.
Yeah, he gets in a fight with them. So they filmed that in front of a green screen. So there weren't any kids there to actually watch him fight Santa. Also, because that scene is so well decorated for Christmas, which is one of my favorite parts, is when he sleeps over at the store and he decorates it for Christmas.
Yeah.
But they really only had one shot to destroy all that. So they had to film it in one take. So there are no kids and they green screened them in. It's just such an awesome movie.
You sit on a throne of lies.
And I mean, if you're in a snowball fight.
Oh.
Yeah, you want Buddy.
Oh, you want Buddy on your team. Yeah.
But he gets that last snowball.
Yeah.
He's like, wait.
He's like, I think one's getting away. Snowball.
So Ming Ming is an elf that appears at the beginning of this film and is played by Peter Billingsley, who is Ralph from A Christmas Story.
Oh,
he has a nice little appearance
in
this. That is 2003's Elf. All right, that was Chong's number one.
Yeah.
My number two. Zach's number two. Candace's number two.
Yeah.
So that brings us all the way back to Molly with your number one.
This is genuinely one of my favorite movies.
Aww.
Of all time.
And there's a Christmas song in this movie that I will now sing to you, but we should probably put the song.
Nope, over- not going to do it. You're it.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene. It is the Nightmare Before Christmas.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Where
Halloween,
the Pumpkin King, Jack Skellington, plots to take over Christmas. But he fails. He realizes after being shot down by the military, and we're just cutting right to the chase here, that maybe taking over Christmas isn't the best idea. Santa makes record time in fixing everything and sends Halloween Town a special gift. Not only that, but Jack Skellington and Sally finally confess their love for one another.
Finally.
Yes, this is a Christmas
I've
movie.
I've been waiting.
And
about
a love
time.
Story.
Yeah, all in one.
It's
and
beautiful.
And a Halloween movie.
Yeah, sure.
Well, one might even argue maybe more Halloween than Christmas, but
one would be I will fight for this one. Also, a Tim Burton movie.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, 1993 Tim Burton movie. Another Tim Burton movie, Batman Returns and Nightmare Before Christmas. It's based on a poem that was inspired by Tim Burton seeing all the Halloween decorations coming off the shelf and just that juxtaposition of like Halloween coming down and jolly Christmas going up. And that's what inspired this whole movie.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
The song was covered by Marilyn Manson.
Come with
factually
us
correct.
And you will see this town of
It is a really trail off there. Can I hear a niner? Love it. So, Nightmare Before Christmas, the beautiful Christmas
beautiful.
Movie, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Warms my little heart.
She's always got to skirt the line, but I think this time she's right.
I mean,
this is a Christmas movie.
It is. So, Jen, this brings us to your number one. Why don't you tell us about your number one?
This is a magical little tale of a friend called Charlie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yes,
right. It is so good. I can't believe this isn't on anyone else's list. It's like...
It's good.
This is the movie that I was going to push back on a little bit because it's 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
So it's not technically a movie.
You can watch it three times.
That's a good point.
But it is...
One wow. Regular
it is... It is great. It is great. I mean,
so good. There's so many good lessons about kindness and giving and friendship and love. And when Charlie Brown picks that little dead Christmas tree, it makes my heart so happy.
So good.
He says, I think it needs me.
That's great.
The feels.
More tears.
It's so good.
Yeah. And the soundtrack is awesome. Yeah. Listen to it every year. It's 1965. It's the first animated Peanuts special. Now it's like a staple. Production ended 10 days before it premiered. So there, it was, they finished it, and then 10 days later, it was on TV. They had no idea what it was going to do, but it became a huge hit and a classic. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find. You can't stream it many places.
This year, it wasn't going to be on, like, normally it plays on ABC or CBS or whatever. And PBS actually picked it up. And so PBS. You can watch it on PBS.
Oh, shout out to PBS.
Mm-hmm. If you have not seen this, it's a must.
Yes.
A must.
So have you seen the Rockefeller Christmas tree this year?
Yes.
No. It is. So normally they have this beautiful, full, like amazing Christmas tree. In true 2020 fashion, this year's Christmas tree is Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Aww, but that's sweet.
And they also found an owl in this Christmas tree. They put it up and they had to rescue this owl because when they chopped it down, he was living in this tree. Just true 2020.
Whoops.
Yeah, sorry, little fella. And then they put it next to a robotic owl and they cuddle.
It's fine.
Friendly
robots. Birds and robots.
That brings us to Sam's number one. Sam, tell us about your number one.
Do I share the number one with anybody?
You do not.
Wow.
Both your number one and then Chong's number two, I thought was going to be on more lists, but it is not.
Okay. So mine's a classic tale. This is a normal American family, and it's Christmas time. And all he wants for Christmas is a gun.
Oh, yes. I see.
Okay. And his mom keeps telling him,
no, shoot your eye out.
This is me and my family's favorite Christmas movie.
What was the gun called?
It's I was literally at Walmart earlier today, and they have it there.
Yep.
It's like the Red Rider.
Yeah, it's like the Red Rider or something. Yeah.
Red Rider BB gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a Red Rider BB gun.
Wow. Is that why you'll have shoot an your eye on right
now? Yeah, we quote it all the time. My grandfather, his name's Grampy Roy, my father's father, He's like, just for all the folks at home who don't understand that.
That's how it works. I'm with you now.
My grandfather, again, Grampy Roy, he is a man of few words, right? But when he watches a movie that he likes, he laughs so much. Mm. And it's one of those people that when you hear them laugh, you laugh. And you like see the joy on them, and it's like contagious. Yeah. And so he laughs this entire movie. And so my father, his son, me, his grandson.
Oh,
yeah. Connecting everything.
I'm lost.
All right, let me pull up a map real quick. Can I borrow your eye patch?
You're 23andMe. I need to see your ancestry.com on this one.
We just laugh and we quote it all the time. The most iconic thing we always quote is Fragile.
Yes. We quoted that unpacking you.
Exactly. Just the other day. But what I really want to get him for Christmas, I bought him like smaller things of this certain object that is in the movie. Is the Forbidden Lamp.
Yes.
Wow. And so we get him ornaments of this leg, socks with this leg on it. And it's like a leg lamp. I mean, probably everyone's seen it. Just like how everyone mostly has grandparents.
Should I explain how a lamp works?
Okay, so. Yeah, so that's my number one. It's just,
it is great.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It is really good. It's really on good. TV a lot, too. TBS, on yeah, 24 TBS, hours. 24 hours on Thanksgiving Day or something like that. It just kicks off Christmas season for a lot of families. Came out in 1983, and it inspired the Wonder Years, which looking back, it makes a lot of sense. You see a lot of connection of this just very normal family and a dad that's kind of grumpy but has this relationship with a son, and the son narrates this movie as an adult. It is the Wonder Years. Yeah. It's a Wonder Years Christmas movie.
I think we all learned not to lick a pole because of this movie.
Correct.
Because I would be the person be like, what does that taste like?
Yeah. You know? It's like frosted. It's like frosted.
It's like ice cream. I did it because you get your tongue stuck. Crazy.
Super fun. Super fun. Number one for Sam.
I can't put my arms down.
Because all the jackets on? Yeah. Every year. My little girls, they do that same scene. All right. That was Sam's number one. Chong's number one was Elf.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Put that down.
Which we all celebrated and covered. Zach's number one was the Santa Claus.
Name? Père Noël. Babo Natale. Père Nicole.
Topo Gigio.
So good.
So that brings us to Candace's number one.
Okay. A pig. A frog. A bear. Join Michael Caine. For this holiday classic, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So good.
Yeah. So I was good. Very confused.
A rat and a weirdo narrate.
Gonzo.
Weirdo.
It's classic.
Oh, my God. I love this movie because y'all know I love the Muppets. That was my first lunchbox when I was a little girl. It was the Muppets. And so anything that has to do with Muppets, I'm in. They take the Dickens classic novel and turn it into a piece of art. It is so good. Right after the Thanksgiving feast, my family, all of us will gather around and we watch this movie first. And that ushers in our Christmas time. I love, in particular, the second spirit that visits.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. This is the night before the dawn, before the day of Christmas. Did I tell you that I am the ghost of Christmas present?
You did, yeah.
Come in and know me better, man.
You're a little absent-minded spirit.
No, I'm a large absent-minded spirit.
He's super jolly, and he sings a song.
Hit it.
I might sing it.
Do it.
Oh my gosh, I'm singing. No, wrong. It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas.
A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother. In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
Let's go, Jen. It is holly and it is jolly.
Sounds lovely, though.
It is great.
Love this movie. 1992. It was the first major Muppet movie after Jim Henson's passing. Mm-hmm. And it was directed by his brother, Brian Henson. And Michael Caine told him that I'm going to play this movie completely like I am in a Royal Shakespeare company.
Yes.
And as you watch this movie, the Muppets are the only Muppety silly thing in this movie. He is acting. He is taking this totally seriously. And I think that's what makes it really fun and endearing. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I love Gonzo and Rizzo the whole time.
They just cracked
me up the whole time. I really like Michael Caine, too. And he said this is his most memorable role of his own. Mm-hmm. He loved doing this. Apparently, Kermit the Frog in an interview. Didn't know Kermit the Frog did interviews, but he did an interview. He said that the most inspiring direction that he was given by Michael Caine, how to be a Royal Shakespearean actor, he said, never blink. And to a Muppet, he took that literally. Ridiculous Muppet movie. Yes, they are.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. I get it.
All right, which brings me to my number one. This one is one that I watched all the time as a kid, not even just Christmas time. I watch this movie all the time. It is Home Alone.
Yes.
Starring Macaulay Culkin. and Joe Pesci, which honestly, Joe Pesci was probably the most famous person in this movie when it came out. It's the same year that he came out with Goodfellas and won an Oscar for that. So this Oscar winner is in this Home Alone movie. It's my favorite home invasion child kidnapping movie.
Are there more than one besides the Home Alone series?
It's such, when you really think about this movie, it is absolutely bizarre. But it's about a kid who gets left behind on his family's vacation. They totally forget him, which actually, rewatching it, so there's two very distinct viewing experiences of this movie. Me as a kid, which is totally focused on Kevin being on his own, getting to run around, being man of the house. But then as an adult, watching this with my daughters, thinking, they're going to do this to me on purpose. They're going to booby trap the house on purpose. So the whole movie is based on this kid that gets left behind. His family goes to Paris for Christmas, and he gets left behind. And they write that into the script really cleverly, that they accidentally throw away his ticket at the very beginning. And then they count the neighbor kid as they're counting all the kids. So they think that he's with them. They're on their way to Paris when they realize we left him at home. As an adult watching this movie, you realize he is a brat.
Absolutely.
He is a turd. He spends the first third of this movie just being a jerk to his family. So he's like wishing his family disappears. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. But really, he's kind of being a turd. So he thinks he just wished his family away. So he has the whole house to himself when these two robbers come and they're trying to rob his house because it's like the crown jewel of the street. But he finds out their plan. So he booby traps the house.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
Again, as a kid, this is what the whole movie was about. As an adult, it's like 20 minutes of the movie. It's barely any of it, but it is nonsensical in a lot of ways. But they made like three or four more, and they're working on a remake on Disney Plus, which I don't know how you do that, because I don't know how this movie gets made today, but they're going to try, obviously, because now it's just like, just text your kid. Just find my phone and like, oh, Kevin's at home. Oh, we're good.
Hey, Alexa.
But this movie came out in 1990 and made almost $500 million worldwide. It was a huge success, but Kevin sets all these booby traps around his house to prank these guys. As a kid, I did all of those things. That's the kind of kid that I was.
You're like, this is my movie.
But I did all these things, and I just thought it was awesome. And now I'm actually terrified that I created little Kevins that will do this.
So this is my son's favorite Christmas movie by far. And I was rolling through Disney Plus, and I was like, oh yeah, Home Alone. And I was like, oh no, I can't watch that, because it's associated now in my mind with him.
Yeah.
And since he can't come home for Christmas, I was like, no, that's too many feelings.
Well, as an adult, you realize half the movie is around his mom, who is separated. And it's actually this really like coming back home to find your son movie. I just remember the Kevin's on his own, and he's this precocious little kid that like he's showering and doing aftershave and going shopping, all these things that you know Kevin didn't do before his parents left because he's just kind of a turd. But now he is doing. And then it culminates with the realization of how important his family is. And there's this guy that lives in the neighborhood, Marley, and his brother, Buzz, tells him these horror stories about Marley, how he's a murderer. And none of that is true. He's actually a sweet old man.
I really haven't been too good this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset about it because I really like my family, even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that?
I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing.
Especially with an older brother.
Deep down, you always love them. But you can forget that you love them. And you can hurt them and they can hurt you. And that's not just because you're young.
And they have this conversation, and that makes him realize how valuable family is. And then Marley also saves him from the bad guys once he gets caught at the end of it. And then Kevin goes on to be a sociopath and probably like the main character in Saw or something. Like, he is a terrifying little boy.
It can happen to the best of us.
Well, again, rewatching this as an adult with my daughters, I realize he straight up like tortures these guys.
Those thoughts were already there. He didn't go, oh, I'm going to like like, he is an expert
about this before his he's an expert on the pulley system, because there's that scene where they like come by, they set up all these pulleys, that there's these mannequins in the window and stuff. He's an expert in this, in torture and the pulley system. And then when they get arrested at the end, he just like is smiling in the window like, ha ha ha.
Terrifying.
Like, man, Kevin is cold-blooded. Yeah. That is my number one. We love Christmas movies. I love Christmas movies. Mm. That brings me back to being a kid. Every Christmas movie, which is the best part of Christmas, is being a kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's been our Christmas movie podcast. Wow. We covered some ground. We went some places.
It was a journey.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
Well, listener, it has been great to go down memory lane with this team of people. We love Christmas. We just love Christmas, and we can't wait to celebrate with you. Write us. Let us know what your favorite Christmas movies are. I know there is some that we left off this list. I am sure that there are some that I'm going to regret not talking about, so you should send them to us. You can write us at podcast@lg4square.com. We'd love to hear your list. Thank you for joining us. We hope you feel a little bit warmer. The Christmas spirit moves into your heart, and you feel uplifted by our talk of Gremlins and Batman.
Always.
So with that, family, thank you for listening. We hope to see you around this holiday season. Celebrate Christmas with us. Watch a Christmas movie with your family. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Of kindness yet for old lang syne.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to follow and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's LG, the number 4square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.